This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As taught follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today's lecture is titled, What Comes After Ramadan? First and foremost, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allowed us to fast the month of Ramadan. And of course, we continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all righteous deeds and actions that we did during this month. Indeed, as-sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from them Ramadan 6 months after Ramadan. So we are still in the first month after Ramadan, and we need to continuously ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us. And the best way to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us is to say, and this is a dua found in the Quran, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is, of course, the dua that Ibrahim and his son Ismail alayhim as-salam made after they had built the Kaaba. And they built the Kaaba by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even then, they would say, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Our Lord, accept from us. So it is very important to continuously ask Allah azza wa jal to accept from us our righteous deeds during the month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan is now over. Well, subhanallah, it finished really, really quickly. And so the question that we're supposed to ask ourselves is, what should we be doing after Ramadan? This is what we must reflect on and ponder over. And this is what I wanted to share with you. As you see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, after Ramadan, heedlessness overtakes a lot of people. And many, many resort back to their old evil and sinful habits and practices. And some take a step backwards concerning their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, delaying their prayers and so on. So the believer needs to be careful after this blessed month of Ramadan, because steadfastness and firmness upon the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a huge blessing. Allah Azza wa Jal only grants this blessing to those whom He loves and He is pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Fussilat, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشُرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He says, indeed, those who say, رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ, our Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they remain steadfast and committed upon Islam. Upon these people, the angels will descend at the time of their death, and they'll give them comforting news, saying to them, لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not fear, and do not be worried, and do not be sad, وَأَبْشُرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and congratulations, you will be granted the paradise. الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Congratulations on the paradise that you have been promised. But you see, the believer, as he is dying, he's given this good news. He's given this good news of entering the paradise. Why? How did he receive this good news? In the ayah, it said, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, because they remained steadfast upon the worship of Allah, whether it was in Ramadan, or before Ramadan, or after Ramadan. والحسن البصري رحمه الله, he said, those who said ربنا الله are many, those who say our Lord is Allah are many. There are so many people that would say our Lord is Allah. However, those who استقاموا, remained firm and committed and steadfast upon the worship of Allah, are a few. And this is why Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for comprehensive advice. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. He said, O Messenger of Allah, give me comprehensive advice that I will only ask you, and I don't want to ask anyone besides you. Give me something special and unique. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, and look at this, the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him, he answered him with words that were much less than the question. He said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say that indeed I have believed in Allah. Say لا إله إلا الله. And then be firm and committed and steadfast upon this word, upon the worship of Allah, until you die. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, in every rak'ah of the prayer, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us firm and guided upon the straight path. When we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Every day we're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us steadfast and committed upon the straight path. Why do we do this? Because the purpose, the objective and the purpose in life is to remain steadfast upon the worship of Allah until death. And this is what Allah said in Surah Al-Hijr, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until death arrives to you. Al-yaqeen is certainty. And certainty in this ayah means death. Because there is nothing in life that is more certain than death. You know, you might have something today. You might have an appointment today. You might have something scheduled for tomorrow. All of this is uncertain. Maybe it can happen. Maybe it's rescheduled. But the only certain thing that is waiting ahead in the future is death. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, worship your Lord until certainty reaches you, until death reaches you. And so this is a command from Allah to remain steadfast upon the worship until death. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that the deeds of a person are by their endings, meaning you will be judged by the endings. How did you end your life? That's how you'll be judged. How did you end your life? And your ending cannot be good unless you are always steadfast upon goodness, because death can strike any time. So if you're always steadfast upon the religion, upon the worship of Allah, then once death reaches you, and it can come any time, it will come to you while you are in a state of righteousness and steadfastness, bi-idhnillah. That's why it's important to always remain steadfast upon the worship of Allah. So this is a blessing from Allah, that we remain steadfast upon the worship until death. Wallahi, it is a blessing. And Allah only grants it to those who are sincere and honest in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remaining steadfast upon the worship of Allah after Ramadan is a great sign of acceptance. This is a good sign that your Ramadan has been accepted. You know, people ask, how do I know that my Ramadan was accepted and it wasn't a waste? We say, if you want to know whether Allah accepted your Ramadan and your righteous actions during Ramadan or not, then observe your state after Ramadan. See what you're getting up to after Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, he said, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, those who seek guidance, Allah would increase them in guidance. That's when you're When you continue upon the worship of Allah after Ramadan, after having worshipped Allah in Ramadan, then that is a good sign that your Ramadan was accepted. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. Allah increases those who seek guidance. He increases them guidance. So when you do a righteous deed, and then you follow it up with a righteous deed, this is a sign of acceptance. This is a sign of guidance and success, that the believer is always in a state of righteousness during his life. And yes, you might slip and fall in sin and in error. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, all the son of Adam are sinners. You might sin after Ramadan. However, the believer doesn't abandon the path of righteousness and the obligations, and then he falls completely into sin and transgression. No. You see, there are some people, when they fall into their evil and old habits after Ramadan, sin and transgression, they give up. They completely give up in the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah. And this one sin, a shaitan whispers to them that you've destroyed yourself. You've destroyed your state and you're no longer a good person. You've just finished 30 days of Ramadan and here you are returning to your sins and your old habits. And the brother or the sister give up and now they will transgress and sin for 11 months of the year until next Ramadan, as though they have been granted another Ramadan or guaranteed another Ramadan. This is a wrong mentality, my brothers and sisters in Islam. After Ramadan, you will surely fall into sin and in error. But do not abandon the path of righteousness, the path of goodness. Do not abandon at-tawbah. Do not abandon seeking Allah's forgiveness. I give you an example. You see, I'm wearing a white, clean cloth. If I walk outside with this clean white cloth, and I was to walk in some dirt, and mud was to come on my white clothing, act like a stain, what would I do? What does a person do? Do you just say, oh, you know, my clothes has gone dirty, and so now you smother your entire dress in dirt? Or are you going to go to the nearest tap and get some water and wash it? Because it's just a tiny dot, just get rid of it, right? And so my brothers and sisters in Islam, the idea is, when you fall into sin after Ramadan, after having been cleansed from your sins with a new, pure, white, crystal polished heart, if you fall into a sin, don't drown into sin now. Come out, be quick to repent and turn to Allah and seek His forgiveness and seek His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the next obligatory prayer you're going to pray, that wipes away sins. One of the rewards of the obligatory prayers is that it wipes away sins. Every obligatory prayer wipes away sins from that obligatory prayer to the one before it. One astaghfirullah from a sincere, honest heart will wipe away your sins. When you make wudu, that'll wipe away sins as well. When you say subhanallah wa bihamdihi in the morning 100 times, it will wipe away sins, even if they were the size of the foam of the ocean. When you say after the prayers, subhanallah 33, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and then you say, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahu alhamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, it will wipe away your sins, even if they were the size of the foam of the ocean. Look at the opportunity that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us during the day and during the night to wipe our sins away. So if you fall into sin after Ramadan, don't give up and believe that you're hopeless and that you'll never be able to give up your bad and evil habits. And then you go all out and drown in sin and abandon righteousness and goodness and tell yourself, khalas, next Ramadan, I'll make a serious commitment. Don't be fooled. These are the tricks and the games of a shaitan. Rather, the believer after Ramadan, if he falls in a sin, he is quick to repent and to come back to Allah. And I told you, the next obligatory prayer will deal with that sin. The sin will be wiped away. Don't worry. But the main thing after Ramadan is do not abandon the path of righteousness and the path of worship and the path of goodness. So we need to monitor ourselves during this period now after Ramadan. The sign of acceptance is that Allah grants us the ability to engage in more righteous actions. Some of the Salaf, rahimahumullah, they used to say, "Min thawab al-hasana, al-hasanatu ba'daha." They used to say, from the virtue of a good deed, is that a good deed comes straight after it. This is a sign of acceptance. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً نَزِدْ لَهُ فِيهَا حُسْنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, whoever does a good deed, we will increase him in goodness. You see, this is very logic, my brothers and sisters in Islam. After Ramadan, monitor this period. If you find yourself engaging in righteous actions, at least remaining consistent upon your obligations, then this is a sign that Allah accepted your Ramadan and the righteous deeds that were done in Ramadan and the efforts that you spent in the last 10 nights seeking Laylatul Qadr. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, increase in goodness and righteous actions and in deeds. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to share with you some of the ways in remaining steadfast upon righteousness after Ramadan. I did mention on the flyer there are five, but perhaps I'll mention a little bit more. But let's get through these five first. Number one, ad-du'a. Ad-du'a is very important for whoever wants to remain steadfast upon the worship of Allah after Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, or Salama, his wife was asked, what was the most abundant dua and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make? She said, كان يكفر أن يقول اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is the most frequent dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man who was already guided, a man who is already guaranteed the paradise, a man who is the most beloved creation to Allah Azza wa Jal. And his most dua was, O turner of the hearts, he's calling to Allah, keep my heart firm upon your religion. Keep my heart firm upon your obedience and upon your worship. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, why is this your most frequent dua? He said, because the hearts of the slaves are between two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal turns them the way he wants. Do you understand what this means? It means if you're desperate for guidance and you're begging that Allah Azza wa Jal bring you closer to his deen, then this is dua you're supposed to be making. Because your heart right now, as you're listening to me, is in the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He flips and he turns it the way he wants. So show Allah sincerity. Show him honesty that you want the path of righteousness, and Allah Azza wa Jal will grant it to you in a moment. Naam. Allah Azza wa Jal has given guidance to the most evil and wicked people that lived on earth. Why wouldn't he give it to you? You know, Umar radiallahu anhu was an evil man before he became Muslim. He was fed by the believers. He was doing horrible things. Can you imagine? In a moment, Allah turned his heart to goodness and righteousness and he accepted Islam. Allahu Akbar. Where did this come from? Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who guides the heart. So there is no doubt that a dua is a huge matter for the believer that wants steadfastness after Ramadan and righteousness after Ramadan. And also from the dua of the scholars and the people of knowledge, and Allah Azza wa Jalla records this in the Quran, He said, رَبَّنَا أَلَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. The dua, this is the dua of scholars. The scholars. You know, when you and I look at scholars and people of knowledge, we think impossible that these people will ever be misguided. Isn't this what you think? Well, at least this is what we assume. That this is a scholar. This is a righteous man. This is a person that shares knowledge. He will never be misguided. But you know that the scholar, and you know the people of abundant knowledge, you know what one of their dua is? And it's recorded in the Quran. They say, Rabbana, our Lord, لا تزغ قلوبنا. Do not misguide our hearts after you have guided us. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And gift us, grant us mercy from you. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. You're the gift giver. You're the one who gives. You're the compassionate, the kind, the merciful. This is the dua of scholars. This is the dua of people of knowledge. They say, our Lord, do not deviate our hearts after you have guided us. So continue to make this dua after Ramadan. Say, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Always ask Allah Azza wa Jal for firmness and guidance. And focus in your salat when you're saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. At least 17 times a day, we are asking Allah Azza wa Jal this best dua in the best of deeds, which is as-salat. We say, our Lord, guide us to the straight path. And from the greatest forms of guidance is to remain steadfast upon righteousness and good deeds and obedience until death. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the second way in how we can remain consistent and steadfast upon the worship of Allah is to be honest and sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal does not disgrace an honest, sincere slave of His. Impossible. Allah Azza wa Jal does not play tricks and games with the servants. If you are sincere and you're honest in your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you steadfastness upon obedience and worship until the day you die. Now, and when we say being honest and sincere with Allah, that means you must prefer what Allah loves over that which you love. You know, the body loves to rest and sleep at night. But when the adhan of al-fajr is called, you need to prefer what Allah loves. And at that moment, Allah wants you to rise from your bed and head towards al-masjid for the men and for the woman to get up and to make wudu and pray at home. Now you are preferring what Allah loves over what you love. Now you are being honest and sincere in terms of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's of course many examples for this. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, he said, وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعَ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perhaps could be a person who does the righteous deeds, does the actions of the people of the paradise, until between him and death there is a handspan. That's it. He's almost going to die. And he's been doing good deeds all his life. He's been obedient to Allah all his life. And just before his death, he does the deeds of the people of the hellfire, and he is thrown in the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. This is a scary hadith. But do you know the reason for why this happened? Why was this person, in the last moment of his life, he started doing the actions of the people of the hellfire, and he entered the hellfire? This is explained in another narration. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. All his life he was doing righteous deeds. فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. According to what people saw as righteousness. Meaning he wasn't sincere. He wasn't honest. He only did righteous deeds in front of the people. And when he was alone, he couldn't care less about his obedience to Allah and his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why he entered the hellfire, because he was not honest. And so there are people like this, that when Ramadan came, they came and they showed their faces in the masjid, because how embarrassing. Everyone's going to the masjid except me, so I must go. And there are some people that would stop music altogether in Ramadan. They paused their habit of music, intending that on the night of Eid, I will return back to music. This is what he is intending in Ramadan. This is not an accepted tawbah. This is doing something so that this is not being honest in the relationship with Allah. This is someone doing something, showing the people that look, in Ramadan, I respect this month. People, I respect Ramadan. I will not listen to music. But on the night of Al-Eid, I'm going to be pumping this music once again. And I will be making my reels and inserting music in them once again after replacing that with nasheed throughout Ramadan. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And I worry for people like this. How can you say, and how can you be convinced from within your heart that you are honest and sincere in your relationship with Allah and in your obedience to Allah and in your tawbah with Allah Azza wa Jal? One of the conditions of a tawbah is to not intend to return to the sin. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to strengthen our belief and our obedience of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people in Ramadan, they just put a pause to watching the haram. And they put a pause to the haram interactions between non-mahrams. They put a pause to their boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. And on the night of Al-Eid, Allahu Akbar, many stories of people going back to their old habits and with passion and intensity. La ilaha illallah. Where is the sincerity in this? Where's the honesty in your relationship with Allah? We need to be sincere. We need to be honest, my brothers and sisters in Islam. I give you a story, and that is the story of Abu Talib. You know Abu Talib? He's the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you know why Allah did not grant Abu Talib success to say La ilaha illallah and die as a believer? You know why? Ultimately, because he wasn't honest and sincere in his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me explain to you. You know, Abu Talib, he apparently loved the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, that's his nephew. Well, Abu Talib even would travel with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ash-Sham. He took him and didn't take any of his children in the known story of Bahira al-Rahib. And when Abu Talib was on his deathbed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ya Am, قُلْ كَلِمَةً قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةً أُحَاجُّ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, my uncle, say La ilaha illallah, I will defend you and I'll help you on the day of judgment with this word. So Abu Talib is on his deathbed. Look at it, just say La ilaha illallah, that's it. And Abu Jahl was there, and the friends of Abu Jahl, these are evil company. Look what evil friends do. They said to him, Atarabu an millati Abd al-Muttalib. They condemned him. And they said to him, how are you going to abandon the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, the religion of a shirk? And he became hesitant. Abu Talib became hesitant. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to him, say La ilaha illallah. And Abu Jahl is saying to him, how can you abandon the religion of your forefathers? And eventually, Abu Talib, he died as a disbeliever. He said, I die upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib. And he did not say, La ilaha illallah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very sad, and he sought forgiveness for him, until Allah Azza wa Jal revealed that you're not allowed to seek forgiveness for him, because he died a kafir. And of course, Abu Talib, his punishment will be reduced in the hellfire because he defended the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, he'll be in the hellfire forever. But the question is, Abu Talib, he loved the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by what we can see. and he defended him and so on. So why didn't Allah give him the ability to say La ilaha illallah as he was dying? I tell you why. And I told you, because he was not sincere in supporting the cause of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not honest. He wasn't. And that's why there is a narration that Abu Talib said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْلَا أَن تُعَيِّرَنِي قُرَيْشِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا حَمَلَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْجَزَعُ لَأَقْرَرْتُ بِهَا عَيْنَكَ. This is in Sahih Muslim. Abu Talib, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it wasn't for the fee of what Quraysh would say about me after I die, I would have submitted, I would have said La ilaha illallah, and I would have made you happy with it. Meaning Abu Talib was afraid of what people are going to say about him if he said La ilaha illallah. He was afraid of being mocked and ridiculed if he was to abandon the religion of Abdul Muttalib, the religion of a shirk. He had pride and he was worried about his reputation among the people. This was his Lord. His reputation was his Lord. And he preferred that his reputation be good over saying La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. You see, he wasn't sincere. He wasn't honest. He worried about his reputation and his name among the people. But Abu Talib was convinced that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final prophet. He was convinced. But he didn't, and he couldn't submit because he wasn't sincere. Allahu Akbar. This is why I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we must be careful. We must be honest and insincere in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're honest and you're sincere in your relationship with Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you firmness and steadfastness upon Islam, upon obedience, bi-ithnillah, until the day you die. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us this steadfastness. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to know why we were created. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create mankind and jinn except that they worship me. Wallahi, this ayah is the key to guidance. And it is the essence of remaining steadfast upon the worship. Once you learn this ayah and then you take a step backwards, you will live an honest and sincere life with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when you know that the only reason for why you were created is to obey Allah, now of course you're going to be sincere and honest in your relationship with Allah. In Surah Al-An'am, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايِ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say and declare publicly and announce to the people that my salat and my rituals and my entire life and my death is all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. He's your purpose. Your purpose is to worship Allah. So be sincere and be honest in your worship and obedience of Allah, and the reward, the result, will be that Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you steadfastness upon Islam and upon Iman until the day you die. As Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Ibrahim, he said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he grants the believers steadfastness in this worldly life and in the afterlife. The afterlife meaning when they die and they're in their grave, and the angels will come and will ask them, مَنْ رَبُّكُ, who's your Lord? Allah will give you steadfastness and grant you firmness to say, my Lord is Allah, and the rest of the questions that are asked in the grave. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the third way in how we can remain committed and steadfast upon the worship of Allah after Ramadan is no doubt to observe our 5 daily prayers at least, and be consistent with that. If your prayers are right and consistent, then you will be granted energy and strength to be firm and steadfast upon the worship of Allah throughout your life. Listen to this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, استقيموا ولن تحصوا واعلموا أن خير أعمالكم الصلاة ولا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he commanded us in this hadith, he said, استقيموا, be firm and be steadfast upon the religion of Allah. And he said, ولن تحصوا, and you'll never be able to achieve 100% steadfastness. We can't, obviously, because a human being falls in sin, he forgets, he becomes heedless, he gets tired, he gets lazy, and so on. But then listen to this. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be steadfast, straight after it he said, and know that the best deed is the prayer. He said, the prayer is the best deed. And so the question is, why did he say the prayer is the best deed after he commanded us to remain firm and steadfast? There's a connection between these two, meaning that the prayer is the greatest matter that will keep you steadfast upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why as-salat comes from the word silah, which means a link, because as-salat is the link and connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing that you'll be judged about on the day of judgment is your prayer. If it is good and upright, meaning you fulfilled all the pillars and the obligations of the prayers, then everything else is right. Everything else that you did in life is all good. Imagine, and all your fasting, your zakat, your dua, and everything will be perfect and tops. And if this prayer was abandoned and neglected and wasted, then all your good deeds that you did throughout your life are also wasted and abandoned and all rejected. So there is no doubt that the greatest matter that will keep you steadfast upon the deen of Allah is that you observe your prayers on time and carefully. The prayers, especially the obligatory prayers. If you find yourself after Ramadan praying your prayers on time, that's a good sign that your Ramadan was accepted. And that's a good sign that you are being steadfast and firm after Ramadan. And add to your obligatory prayers some sunan prayers. Don't neglect the sunan prayers. Pray the sunan al-rawatib, 2 rak'at before Fajr at least, 2 rak'at before Dhuhr, 2 rak'at after Dhuhr, and 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. That's a sunan al-rawatib. They are 10 rak'at. Yes, there are other madhahib that mention it's 12 rak'at, and they make that 4 before Dhuhr. But the correct opinion, wallahu alam, is that sunan al-rawatib is 10 rak'at. Very easy, wallahi, it is very easy to pray them. 2 before Dhuhr, and 2 before Fajr, and 2 after Dhuhr, and 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha. Very easy. And I tell you, the easiest way to pray them is as soon as they cross your mind, get up and pray. That's it. Act upon the thought. The moment the sunnah prayer crosses your mind, get up and pray it. You see, if the sunnah crosses your mind, and then you say, I'll pray it later, I'll pray it later, the more you delay it, the tougher it's going to be to get up and pray it. The shaytan's waswas is going to be intense. And so that's the idea of mujahadatul nafs, the spiritual struggle. The mujahadatul nafs, it could be over in 1 second. As soon as you finish as-salat and you say, astaghfirullah, 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 get up. If you think that, oh, if I read all the adhkar after the prayer, I'm going to not end up praying the sunnah after the prayer, then say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Get up. Straight away get up and pray. Because as soon as you say Allahu Akbar, that's it. The struggle and the fight is over. It's finished. Khalas, there's nothing you're going to struggle about. Wallahi, it is very easy, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And remember, the more you perfect your salat, the obligatory prayers, the sunan prayers, then you are on a path of steadfastness and righteousness until you die, bi-ithnillah. And don't forget to pray something of the night prayers, al-witr as well. Pray at least 1 rak'ah at night. The best of the obligatory prayers, or the best of the voluntary prayers, after the Sunan al-Rawatib is the night prayer. So make sure you're praying at least one rak'ah, al-witr. That's the most beloved of the prayers to Allah Azza wa Jal. Inna Allah witrun yuhibbu al-witr. Allah is odd, He is one, and He loves al-witr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Awtiru ya ahl al-Qur'an. People of Qur'an, unto my brothers and sisters in Islam. Aren't we all wanting to be from the people of the Qur'an? Inshallah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from the people of the Qur'an. Huh. Then the people of the Qur'an are supposed to pray al-witr before they sleep. Or after you sleep when you wake up before adhan al-fajr. Choose a time for yourself and pray al-witr, one rak'ah. And always be conscious of the fact that the more you pray and engage in the prayer, then this is a means, it's a way to remain steadfast upon obedience and upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am, at least two rak'at at night, and then add to that one rak'ah al-witr, at least three rak'at. Allahu Akbar, if you pray three rak'at at night for the entire year, that will equal to 1,095 rak'at, which is 2,192 opportunities of sujood. How does a person neglect all this and waste all this? Now, the fourth matter that keeps us steadfast upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal is to be consistent in your worship. You want steadfastness upon worship, then be consistent in your worship. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved deeds to Allah are the consistent deeds, even if they were done in small portions. So, you know, and I always like to share the words of Imam Ahmad, in where he said, إِجْعَلْ لَكَ فِي كُلِّ مِضْمَارٍ سَبْقَى بِهِ تَبْدَأْ وَمِنْهُ تَنْطَلِقْ وَإِلَيْهِ تَعُودْ. How do you be steadfast upon the worship or consistent in your worship? Listen, from every type of worship, set a standard for yourself. Start with this standard. On days you have energy increase, and on days you don't have energy, at least you don't go underneath this standard. Let me give you an example. If we're speaking about reading the Quran, that's a worship. Assign for yourself a standard. Say you're going to read one page of Quran a day, and you're going to read the translation of this page, and you want to try to understand one page. Give yourself 15 minutes. Be consistent. Choose the time, in the morning, in the evening, whatever it is. On certain days, if you find energy and strength that you can read more, Bismillah, read more than a page. And on days in which you find that you're lazy, you're struggling, you're sick, you're tired, whatever it is, then at least don't go underneath your standard and read that one page. That's how you achieve consistency in worship. And if you're consistent in your worship, that's a means in how to remain steadfast and committed upon Islam and upon Iman. That's a very, very good advice from al-ulama, rahimahumullah. Even when it comes to the worship of the morning and the evening adhkar, that's a worship. Set for yourself a standard. Say to yourself that every morning and every evening, at least I'm going to read ayat al-kursi. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And I'm also going to say سَيِّدُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. All of it. That's your standard. On days in where you have time and you have energy and you have strength, do all of the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, all of them. And on days in which you're lazy or you're feeling tired or you don't have the time or you're busy, then at least don't go underneath your standard. And that way we can say that you did some of adhkar al-sabah wal-masa. You've engaged in that worship. Take this principle and apply it to all the other types of worship. Now, the fifth way, of course, in how we remain firm and steadfast upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, no doubt, is to read the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, that the disbelievers said, Why wasn't the Quran revealed as a whole unto the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because you know, my brothers and sisters, at-Tawrah wal-Injil, the Bible and the Torah, it was revealed unto the prophets Musa and Isa alayhi as-salam, one whole, as a whole. It came down one go. But the Quran was revealed over 23 years. So the disbelievers, they said, Ya Rasulullah, and they didn't say Ya Rasulullah, but they asked him. They said, why wasn't the Quran revealed as a whole? Just take one go. Allah Azza wa Jal answers, and he said, كَذَلِكْ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكْ. Allah says, we reveal that over time in small portions so that you remain steadfast upon the deen, so that your heart remains firm and committed upon Islam. What does this mean? It means the fact that it was revealed over 23 years, meaning the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was engaged in the recitation of the Quran every single day for 23 years. And that granted him firmness and steadfastness upon the deen of Allah. So if you want the same thing, have a strong and an intense relationship with the Quran. Read the Quran every single day. In small pieces, doesn't matter. Read portions. Understand what you're reading. And then implement that which you are reading. By Allah, you'll remain steadfast. And you'll remain firm upon the obedience and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the Quran is divided into 30 ajza. Wallahi, if you just gave half an hour a day and divide the 30 minutes, 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes after Asr, 10 minutes before sleep, you will read one juz'. If you cannot read that quick, listen. Listening to the Quran earns you the same reward as reading the Quran. For every letter you listen is 10 hasanat. 30 minutes a day with the Quran, wallahi, it's not much. 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes after Asr, 10 minutes before sleep, and you finished one juz, and in 1 month, you finished the Quran. And this is going to keep you steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and always remind yourself that this is the meaning of life. This is what I want to achieve in life. And that is to understand the word of Allah and implement it in my life. Now, it's good because when you read the Quran, even though you're not going to understand every single letter and every single word, but the idea is if you're reading one juz' a day or listening to one juz' a day, it's going to remind you. It's going to remind you of very important things in life. So it'll keep you aware. It'll keep you focused. It'll remind you of Allah's mercy, of Allah's forgiveness. It will remind you that you're supposed to rely upon Allah. It will remind you of the stories of the prophets and the struggles and the hardships they went through. You don't have to be a scholar. Just a simple translation as you're listening to the Quran in the Arabic language. The heart needs to always be reminded and exposed to the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Imagine you're listening to the Quran. And you come past the ayah, Inna Rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah, that your Lord is vast in forgiveness. Wallahi, this creates peace and tranquility in the heart. Does that need a scholar to explain it to you? I'm telling you, we all are in need of reading the Quran. All of us, the young and the old, the Muslim and the non-Muslim, everyone is in need of reading the Quran. But you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, especially us, when we read the Quran, it's not just about, oh, you know what, we need to read it because it's Allah's word. There's guidance here. If you're reading a juz' a day, or you're listening to a juz' a day and following the translation, your heart will connect with these ayat. It's a good reminder for us. You'll learn and recognize who Allah is, and every single day you're doing this, Allah, it'll soften the heart. And that's how you remain firm and steadfast upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I don't want to take longer than this. I'll share two more things very quickly. Number six, how you can remain firm upon the deen of Allah azza wa jal is attending lessons. Attend lessons. Wallahi, the lesson is like fuel in the car. You know, when the car is running low on fuel, you stop at the petrol station, or the gas station, wherever you live and whatever you call it, you fill up the car, petrol, and then it goes. That's exactly what the lessons and the lectures do. Like now we're listening to this lecture. Wallahi, I benefit from my own lecture more than you benefit. These lectures are very important for us to listen to and to attend and to revise them. And every single day, if you can listen to a lecture or two, listen. Wallahi, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's not difficult for the one who wants Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not difficult for the one who is honest and sincere in his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Whoever wants Allah and he wants what is with Allah in the afterlife of the paradise and his mercy and pleasure, he'll find this very easy to do. Listen to lectures and that'll keep you steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal mandated at least once a week Salat al-Jum'ah upon the men. And in Salat al-Jum'ah there is a reminder, there is a lecture that is going to remind you about Allah. You know? And that's the believer, we're supposed to always be seeking knowledge and learning that will strengthen us and will keep us steadfast upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And finally, and number seven, I'll conclude with this, and that is to remain steadfast upon the worship of Allah. Keep away from sins as much as you can. Because sins, they deter us, they keep us away from righteousness. The more you engage in sins, the more you do sins, the heart becomes black, it becomes heavy, and it dislikes good deeds. It'll start turning away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep away from sins as best as you can. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, avoid the sins and you will be the most righteous of mankind. Allahu Akbar, imagine this. You see, doing good deeds, it's easy. Everyone could do righteous deeds. You can pray voluntary prayers. You can give sadaqah to charities. Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Look at the world today in terms of charities and good deeds. So many organizations, so many people sharing links of charity. We'll donate here, donate. We're feeding the poor. We're clothing the poor. We're building tents. We're doing, mashallah, this is fantastic. This is beautiful. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless the efforts. But the idea is, only a few will find it. Yani, I'm saying, everyone can do these righteous deeds, but it's only the righteous believer that keeps away from sins. It's only the righteous. When the true righteous people are the people that keep away from sins. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. He said, avoid sins and you'll be the most righteous of the people. Allahu Akbar. So keep away from sins as best as you can, especially after Ramadan. Sins could wipe away your good deeds. They could. There are certain sins that would wipe away and destroy your record of good deeds. That's why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. The one who comes on the day of judgment with a good deed, Allah would multiply it for him 10 times. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, but the condition is you have to come with the sin, with the good deed. Man ja'a bil hasan, whoever came on the day of judgment with a good deed. So the idea is you can lose it before the day of judgment. And in order to preserve your good deeds, you need to keep away from sins. Backbiting, it wipes away sins. Missing the obligatory prayers wipes away good deeds. Be careful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever misses Salat al-Asr, فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ, then his righteous deeds of that day will be destroyed, will be erased. His righteous deeds will be erased. The ulama rahimahumullah said this is not only limited to Salat al-Asr, rather it is extended to all the obligatory prayers. Missing the obligatory prayers and not praying them on time will result in good deeds being wiped away. So in order to remain steadfast upon the worship of Allah, keep away from sins altogether. And most importantly, ask Allah Azza wa Jal, as we said, to grant you firmness and steadfastness upon the deen of Allah. This is it, my brothers and sisters in Islam. We come to the end of this lecture. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us forgiveness and mercy. And we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us in the highest levels of the paradise ma'an nabiyyina wa s-siddiqina wa shuhada'i wa s-salihin. Wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.